Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So welcome to a Project Love real love story. And today I'm joined by the wonderful Caroline.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to start from the beginning, and I'd love for you to tell me about how you and Gus first met.
Okay, so this goes way back. Gus was at primary school with quite a few people who then came to secondary school with me. So he was kind of part of their group of friends, and we were part of a kind of extended group of friends, but they were a few years above us. So he didn't come to the same school, but he was kind of around when we were at secondary school. And he was like the super hot older guy that I called by both his names. So it was like if we were in the pub and we were sort of all there as a group of friends hanging out, and I'd kind of go back to my friends and be like, oh my God, Gus Thatcher's here. And like, get all like curious about it. And so we sort of knew each other back then, but just kind of acquaintances as opposed to friends. Or sort of we'd be at the pub, like, it was always around the pub, but we'd be at the pub and he'd sort of say, oh, hi Caroline, how are you? And I'd be like, Gus Thatcher knows my name. And then he was really good friends with some people that I'd grown up with. And they were kind of our oldest friends that we'd known forever. And they lived like down the road from us. And their parents got married when they were much older, which was wonderful. So they sort of went off and did a little ceremony, but then decided, no, we're going to have like a proper wedding. So we all got invited to this really lovely wedding. And he was there. And this was like, what, 4 or 5 years later, maybe even more than that. So post-uni. Yeah, post-uni, when we'd just come back to London. And I was kind of timing my cigarette breaks between meals as to, like, go out, hoping that he'd come out and we'd get to chat outside because we were on different tables. And anyway, long story short, we ended up hooking up at the wedding, and then we came back to London and started dating from there. So we've known each other for a really long time, and we've been sort of around each other for a really long time and known of each other for a really long time. But it was when, after that wedding, came back and had some official dates.
And then how did things develop from there?
But everything with us was always, and I don't know whether it's because we had such a history already, and I kind of already knew, like, my best friend from school, her mum knows his family really well and has known him since he was tiny, like prep school, age 5, 6, or whatever age he goes to prep school. And so when you sort of know, it makes it easier because you don't have that not knowing whether someone's actually a decent person or not, or whether they're hiding something, and everyone's kind of just saying this person's great and they're lovely and they're from a lovely family, and everything was just kind of really easy. We just kind of slotted into it. It wasn't hard. There was nothing difficult. It was very easy. We got on really well. Like, our first date, we went out, and then I was living on my own at the time, and he came back, and we just sat on the balcony for like 6 hours drinking beer and talking. And I hadn't had that with someone for a really long time. So I kind of knew quite, and I think he knew as well quite early on, that it was something different, and it was something special, and it was sort of how relationships should be. And there was still sort of that, you know, will we, won't we, is it? I mean, he was still technically dating someone else for a little while we were dating at the beginning. And then I found out about that, and I was kind of like, hang on a minute, what's going on here? And at that point, he was like, I didn't really know where we were going. And obviously, of course, that's that's done. So we sort of had still had our kind of moments along the way. And it wasn't like, oh, this is a done deal as soon as we started dating. But it was just, yeah, it was easy, and it was not comfortable. That's not the right word. But do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just, it was what you thought it should be like. Mm. It's not hard. You're not feeling like you have to be someone that you're not. You're just yourself with this person straight away. And you can just get on with doing the good stuff without having to feel like you're playing a role, mm-hmm. or having to behave a certain way, mm-hmm. or having to watch what you say in case the other person, do you know, mm-hmm. am I making sense?
Yeah. Mm, yeah, a familiarity.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of just, it moved quite quickly after that. And I think it's because we both kind of knew that it was something that was almost like a done deal. It was like, this is it. We're in. We've kind of found each other. Like, we're good now. I think he was ready to move out of living in shared accommodation, and I was very happy in my little flat that I was living in on my own. Mm-hmm. Wanted to sort of find this relationship and get into a lovely relationship and ultimately get a dog, really. Mm. So he rang me up one day when I was at work, and we kind of vaguely discussed moving in together. And he said, he rang me at work and said, "So don't freak out, but I'm looking around a flat." And I was like, okay, I'm freaking out, but fine. And then he said, "I'm going now. I'll let you know how it goes." And I said, "Okay, cool." And then he rang back about half an hour later and he said, "I'm in the flat. It's wicked. We have to get it." And I was like, whoa, what's just happened? This has just suddenly jumped a million miles. But okay, so my two things were, I said, is there a dishwasher? And what's the power like in the shower? And so he went over and flicked the power on in the shower and was like, "The shower's good." I was like, okay, all right. He was like, "We have to do this." I said, "Okay, cool, right, let's do it then." And I'd been like a West London girl, born and raised, and then I went to boarding school when I was 10, and I hadn't really come over and spent that much time in East London. And then all of a sudden and the only time really that I'd done that was being with him and sort of exploring this whole new side, which was also why the relationship was like, it was really lovely to begin with, because I was kind of finding this whole other life that was going on out there. And so then I found myself, yeah, moving to this flat in Dalston. And
it is this actual,
it is. Yeah.
It is this actual flat, because I moved into this flat when Caroline and Gus moved out in 2011. So, God, nearly 7 years ago, and we're in this very flat right now. Just to add a twist to the tale.
Coincidentally. But yeah, I think, and then that's kind of when the this is where it takes a downward spiral. That's where the cracks started to show, really. And things started to get more difficult. Things were then kind of more serious, I guess, and deeper. And it was more about us being a couple. But we got to a point where we were just bickering all the time. And I think part of me knew that sometimes that it was stuff to do with me, and part of me thought that it was him. And I think I just kind of got to this point where I just thought that we weren't meant to be together and we weren't right for each other anymore, and that it shouldn't be like that, and so therefore we shouldn't be together. And so we talked about it a lot, but not really. It was only kind of surface talking about it. And we always did it when we were really drunk as well. So I'd get really drunk and I'd bring it up, and then we'd kind of try and talk about it, but probably we're never really talking about it. We're kind of talking around it. Mm. And he just wanted to get on with it. And so I left. And I moved out and I left. and we still had a dog together. Oh yeah, we bought a dog during that time. We had Hendrix. We bought Hendrix together.
Was that around the same time as you moved in into Dalston?
Yeah, so we moved. Well, how long were we here for? We were here for 2 years. So it was probably, I don't even know. It was probably about 6 months after we moved in. We moved in together after 6 months of being together. Mm-hmm. That was quite, so it was quite soon. Yeah. And then, yeah, we were probably here for about six. And I'd wanted a dog for ages. And he sort of said, if you want it to be, it has to be a blue whippet. And I looked into it and thought, actually, that would be perfect in this flat. Because they like to curl up and sleep a lot. And then I found some and we went on a trip to Cornwall and ended up diverting to go and pick Hendrix up. Anyway, side story. And I think that was part of it as well. Like, I blamed a lot of it on the way that he raised the dog really weirdly, like little things like that, and being like, well, if he's gonna disagree with me on things like that, then well, what's it gonna be like with children? And all these really stupid, crazy thoughts that I was just clearly overthinking everything. And and really battling with myself about it. And because I wasn't talking to him about stuff, it was just going round and round and round in my head. And I was getting more and more unhappy. Which ultimately resulted in me leaving. So because we had the dog together, we had to sort of stay, we stayed in contact. We dog shared. We've dog shared for... since, so the last sort of, we were for 5 or 6 years, every 2 weeks, doing 2 weeks on and off. And it started at the beginning of us like having to not see each other and do it through other people. It's like having a child. And then, and during that time, I'd said to him, I need to sort of go away and sort myself out. Because when we were having a lot of the conversations about stuff, we were... he was sort of pushing it back on me. I was pushing it on him and saying, you know, you do this and you do that. And these are the reasons why it's not working. And he sort of very much accepted some responsibility for it, obviously, but sort of did this, actually, this isn't just me. This is, you need to do more of this and you need to do more of that. And so I got to a point where I realized that actually I did need to go away and really sort of have a hard look at myself and look at how I handled situations and what was going on in my own head and why I was kind of actually deep down to the core quite unhappy at the time looking back. And I think that, so I did, I went away and I said to him, I need to go and try and sort myself out. And I did for about 4 months and then we sort of tried to date again and it nothing had really changed. So we called it quits. So we were apart for 5.5 years, 5.5 or 6 years, but still seeing each other all the time, still had lots of the same friends. And always during that time had this, this thing where we'd fall back in together. So if we were out at a friend's birthday dinner, we'd always end up sitting next to each other and we'd always, it would always be that sort of thing of going, well, obviously, like, these are the two best things on the menu, so obviously we're going to get both of those and we're going to share them, right? Because we're very, so into the same sort of, in terms, like, we just have this, like, complete understanding of, and we still do it now, like, we sit in restaurants and I go, well, clearly these are the two best things and clearly we're just going to get them and then share them. And he's like, yeah, and he doesn't share food. And so we'd sort of just fall into this thing of being together. We'd be at weddings and get really drunk and get too tactile with each other and just be like, it was like we were together. And people would think we were together. And or sometimes we'd even end up hooking up and having a cheeky snog around the corner. But then we'd always go back to the, no, we don't work. We're not meant to be. And go our separate ways again. And we were both dating other people during this time. And sometimes it was easier than others to be okay with that. Like sometimes we'd meet up and and have a really lovely brunch to swap the dog and have a really lovely brunch and just talk about disastrous Tinder stories and have a real laugh about it. And other times it was, there'd be a party that we'd be going to and I'd know that he was going with his girlfriend or I was coming with a new boyfriend and we'd sort of make a decision not to go to the party because we didn't want to be there around that. And I think that's probably where you are at different phases of your own life and how you feel in yourself. Mm. During the time we were apart, I just learned a lot about myself, really. And I spent a lot of time, it sounds really cliche, but I spent a lot of time actually working out what was going on with me and what I wanted out of life. And when I was at school, everything's sort of laid out for you. And you go through, you do what you do. So there are certain sports that you're good at and you do those sports and you're in those teams. And there are certain subjects that you're good at and you do those for your A-levels because you're good at them. And then when it came to uni time, I went to uni and I went for all the wrong reasons. And I followed a boy to uni and I wasn't ready to go to uni. I wasn't that interested about going to uni. And I went to the uni that he was going to, as opposed to the uni that was right for me. And so I was there for all the wrong reasons. And it didn't work out with us. We weren't together when we were there. So I kind of went on the back foot in that whole relationship status anyway. So I got there because I wasn't there for the right reasons. I just completely lost myself. And I wasn't doing any of the stuff that I enjoyed doing. I spent the whole time basically just going out and getting shit-faced and having a good time, which meant that a lot of the relationships that I formed when I was there were going out and getting shit-faced relationships as opposed to deep, meaningful relationships. Even though I made some really good friends when I was there, and I also went with some of my school friends, and so we spent a lot of time together when we were there. But I don't think I really did the whole going away and growing as a person, and I by the time I came back to London and then I sort of just rolled into some jobs and I knew it really, because before I came back and did just random reception work, and then I went away traveling for a bit with my friend and we were away in these amazing places and I was with my best friend, but there was something that was really unhappy in my core and kind of panicked about coming back and getting on with life and not, and just feeling really lost and not really knowing myself. And it's only really when you look back, and I'm sure probably most people in their 20s probably get this, I don't know whether I'm any different or not, but I kind of felt like I was. And so by the time I got back to London and I got into a job, and it was intense, and I was working really hard and I was trying to build myself up and I was working all hours, and also we drank a lot. I was working in PR, so I did a lot of events, and we did a lot of going out after work and getting drunk, and we did a lot of our best work over several bottles of wine, and did a lot of coming back and reading the napkin the next day and not understanding anything that we'd done, having thought we'd done the best work ever. So it was all... it was all a bit of a roller coaster, and I was still sort of on that roller coaster and thinking that it was okay and that I was fine. And it wasn't until I sort of got into this relationship with Gus and actually when things started going wrong, having to really kind of look at myself and be there for someone else and be a part of something else and bring something to the table, and be in control of my own shit so that I could be in control of us. Does that make sense? I wasn't in control of my shit, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't have any hobbies, and I didn't do any of the kind of stuff that for myself, I didn't do anything for myself really that made me happy. I was working really hard during the week, and then I was coming home and we were sort of hanging out on the weekend, but I didn't have any real release. And I've never really been that good at talking about my feelings, And I kind of just wanted him to ask me the right questions so that I could tell. And I was always like that. And I've got like my best friends who do ask the right questions. And I'd be a bit like, why can't Gus be like that? Why can't he ask the right questions? And why can't he read my mind? And to help me sort of get through this and get past all these things and work out what I want and get a bit more comfortable with myself. And of course he couldn't, because he's not a mind reader and he shouldn't be, but I thought that he should be. And so during this time when we were apart, I realized that, and I realized that it wasn't up to him to make me happy. And it wasn't our relationship that should be the thing that makes me happy. And I think I'd always thought that if everything's all over the place in your life, if your relationship is good, then you're fine and everything's great. And in fact, it's not that. It's the other way around, which is if everything's good in your life and you're happy in yourself, then your relationship can be in a much better place and can be great. But it took me kind of going away and living on my own after I moved out, and being out of my comfort zone of having lots of people around me, because a lot of my friends were sort of going off and doing their own thing and we'd all sort of gone our own way. And a lot of the friends that I'd had during that time were friends of mine and Gus's. So they didn't disappear. Like, we still saw each other and we still went to a lot of the same things and I still got invited to stuff, but I wasn't on the kind of everyday invite for things anymore. So I was in East London. A lot of my friends, my old friends, were in West London, and all the people around here were all sort of his friends. So I kind of had to start again from scratch a little bit and have a really good look at myself. And I was living on my own, and things like not being confident enough to go and sit in a cafe on my own and have a coffee. And not necessarily needing to think about why that was, just needing to go and get on with it and get on with life and do it. And getting more comfortable on my own and more comfortable in my own skin. And so I did that. I pushed myself. I mean, it helped having the dog, but I pushed myself into going and sitting on my own in places instead of staying in my flat on my own for weekends when I wasn't doing stuff. And discovered the absolute joy of brunching on your own, which is just the best thing in the world. But it's just so weird. And I don't even know how I got myself. I think I was just so lost in myself to not be able to go and sit in a cafe on your own and have a meal on your own. Or even go and sit like in a pub and have a glass of wine and read a book in a corner. I just thought it was terrifying to me. And so I just confronted all of that. And then through work, I'd had a different job at this point, and I'd moved jobs, and I was doing a job that had put myself quite far out of my comfort zone. And I was kind of running my own thing. So that helped me to kind of go, well, if I can do this, I can go and sit in a cafe on my own and I can go out and meet some new people. And I met some new people through that, and they started inviting me to stuff. And before, I would have kind of said yes and then pulled out at the last minute and not gone. And I think it's really interesting because on the surface, everyone would never have thought that I was that person. I think everyone always thought that I was this super confident, totally comfortable in my own skin, totally had my shit together, and I just wasn't at all. Well, I didn't feel like I was. I did, but I felt out of control in my own mind and like lost. And so I started going out with him, and I met this whole new group of friends, and then moved out of the flat that I was living in on my own, partly because I was too insecure about moving in with other people and moving in with strangers after I'd lived with Gus. And I moved in with my really good friend Jess, and we got a new flatmate, and I did the whole living with other people thing. And by this point, I was in my 30s. So, like, this is all things that people had done years before, probably. And then just, yeah, got more confident in myself and spent a lot of time working out what it was that made me happy and doing and finding yoga, which changed my world. And doing more of that and having that release. So coming out of a really stressful day at work and then knowing what I needed to do for myself to break myself out of that horrible place that I was in, or if things started getting a bit too much in my mind, knowing that I could go and just level myself out and then come back to life and friends and relationships and be in a good place. And that was when, yeah, so that comes back to around to when me and Gus got back together, I guess. So we'd still obviously been seeing each other a lot. And there'd been some time, so I kind of got to a point where everything was really good. And we went to a wedding, a friend's wedding, and we ended up hooking up at the wedding. And it felt like it was great again. And it was back to, and it felt very different that time from all the other times. And so I was like, right, well, that's it. We're in again. This is it. This is very different. And we're back on it. And so I kind of said to my friends afterwards, they said, yeah, I think me and Gus might be giving it another go. And he just wasn't there at all, And I sort of said, maybe we could go on some dates. And he was like, yeah, maybe. And then he just never called me for a date. And I was like, oh, so maybe we're not dating then. And then we'd have to sort of still meet up to swap the dog. And I was a bit like, is he going to ask me out on a date? And then he just didn't. Like, okay, cool. So that's not happening. So I had to go and get over it again. And then he came back from, he went away. And he went away with a girl, I think. And we met up for a friend's birthday a few days later. And we did that thing of sitting at the table and we ordered everything on the menu. I think it was in this little restaurant. We ordered everything on the menu and shared it. And we went to a bar afterwards and we were sort of sitting there and we'd found a little space to sit and everyone else was in the back room where it was really noisy. And he was asking me about the last relationship that I'd been in. And I said, oh, it was over. And he said, oh, okay, why, what happened? And I said, oh, well, you know, he wasn't my penguin. Because me and my friend had this thing about finding your penguin, which is like your forever person. So I said, oh, he wasn't my penguin. And I said, oh, what about you? Because he'd sent a message out to the group WhatsApp saying, you know, if anyone's around for a drink beforehand. And no one had replied, and I was. And I said, you know, I can come for a drink beforehand, but if your girlfriend's going to be there, you know, maybe I won't come. And he said, oh, actually, we've broken up. So I said, what's happened with, what happened with you? And he said, oh, well, you know, she wasn't my penguin either, kind of threw it back at me. And then he said, well, what happens if you have already met your penguin and no one else is ever going to kind of live up to that? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, you know, I was on the plane on the way back and all I could think about was seeing you. And maybe you are my penguin and maybe we should just be giving it another go. And you're going to well up because you're making me well up. No. And I kind of freaked out a little bit at that point because I just got over him again almost because he'd said no. We hadn't started dating and in my head we were getting back together and then we hadn't got back together. So I'd kind of drawn a line.
What was that time period?
It was probably about 6 or 7 months. Mm. So not that long, but long enough. Mm. And then, in fact, it must have been more than that. It must have been a bit more than that. And then, so I sort of said, well, look, maybe we'll just, because I knew something was still there because I'd wanted to give it another go 6 months ago or whatever. So I said, well, maybe we should just go on some dates and see how it goes and see where we get to. And so we properly started dating again and like went on actual dates and had a really good time and just kind of slotted back into it again in that easy, lovely way that it was always there, but I just wasn't able to cope with my own, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready the first time round. And I wasn't in the right place for it. And this time I was. So we're still dating and it's been really interesting. It's not been like easy. It's not, we haven't just fallen back into this, like everything's rosy and it's amazing and really peachy. Like there was still a lot of work that had to be done. Like we'd gone from, I mean, we'd had more time apart than we'd had together. Mm. We were together for 2.5 years and we were apart for 5.5, 6 years. Mm. So we'd spent more time having adjusted our relationship to being friends than we had actually being in a relationship with each other. Mm. And so there was still a lot of kind of getting to know each other again from that perspective. Mm. And not falling back into the same trap that we were in before. And we do, I mean, we're so similar that we do bicker still. But the thing that we did differently this time is we talked about everything. And I talked about how I feel more. And there've been times still where I found it difficult and I've kind of closed up and I felt a bit like I'm not handling things very well and I need some of my own space and some time to myself to sort my stuff out, because I still get that. I still get the, okay, everything's a little bit overwhelming, not just in relationship, in life, and actually I need to go away and spend some time, some me time, doing some stuff for me, whether it's because you're super busy and you haven't had time to do stuff for yourself. And so I still have that super important, like, I need to go away and spend some time just mellowing myself out and looking after my own brain and doing stuff for me, and then I can come back and be us again. But I'd, when we first got back, I kind of wouldn't tell him that that's what I was doing, and then I could feel him starting to get a bit worried that it was all going to happen again. Actually all he needed was me to say, I'm just going to go and hang out on my own for a couple of days and do my own thing and like do all my washing and tidy my room and get my to-do list in order and just simple things like that just in my brain help me feel like everything's not all over the place. And then I can deal with everything else and I can deal with his feelings as well and all that kind of stuff. And he'd be like, if you just tell me that, that's fine. I've got my own shit to do. I've got plenty of my own stuff to be getting on with. Like, it's fine. Almost like, get over yourself a little bit. Like, just talk to me about it. And I'll go and do my own stuff and you can do your own stuff. And that's fine. We'll see each other when we're ready. And then I was like, oh yeah, no, I should just do that, shouldn't I? So he's still, during this whole process, he still is coaxing me out of my shell of learning to talk about stuff and learning to communicate how I'm actually feeling and not be scared of that. And I think that because we were together and we broke up and then we've got back together again, I kind of have that thing of like, what's the worst that could happen now? Like, if I say to him, this is how I feel about this, and he doesn't like it or he thinks badly of me about feeling that way or whatever, then it doesn't work out and we break up and we're okay. So that's the worst case scenario. And the best case scenario is he understands and he appreciates it and we understand each other better, and then we can move forward from a better place and from a place of better understanding instead of a place of assumptions. And it's quite easy to make an assumption about how someone's feeling or why they're doing something. And it's not until you talk about it that you find those things out and can actually really understand each other. And that's really important. And people need to understand each other in order to make it work. And you don't just find someone that automatically reads your mind and understands you. It's something you work at, and it's a process.
Yeah, and that it's okay for you to be vulnerable,
yeah,
to talk about how you feel about something without having a solution in that moment. You know, you can be raw and vulnerable and talk, and he can actually hold space for you in that moment.
Yeah, and that he can help me work through it or work out what it is.
You don't need to go away, solve it and come back. You can't talk about it until you've solved it.
Exactly, you know? And that's the thing, because... I would do that, and actually all you do in that situation is you go round and round and round in your head, because unless you talk about it, and unless you, and sometimes as soon as you do it and as soon as you say it out loud, you're like, oh no, wait, I know the answer. But it takes saying it out loud, and it takes saying it to someone else that helps you work it through.
Yeah.
And because I've got such close girlfriends and who really understand me, who've known me for such a long time and really understand me, sometimes I'd make the mistake of going away and talking to them, and they'd kind of say, I'd work it through with them. And then I would come back to him sometimes with a solution. And he's a bit then out of the whole loop.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming back with a solution to our relationship that he's been completely left out of. And it's like, hang on a minute. How did you get to that? And where was I in this whole process? I think... It's just important to talk it through with them and to not have to have a solution.
What other lessons have you learned along the way? Because it's just such an incredible journey that you've both been on, but also, you know, that you've been on in yourself. Like, what have been the kind of most important lessons that you've learned along the way?
I think it's just not expecting someone else to be in control of your happiness and responsible for your happiness. I felt that he was responsible for my happiness, and that our relationship should be responsible for my happiness. And that's not the case at all. It's never going to work if you think about it like that. And just talking to each other, being vulnerable and communicating and talking about stuff. But I've just honestly, like, I've learned so much about myself through... all of this, and through having to really look at myself, and also that it can be hard, and it's not. I mean, my parents worked a lot when I was a kid, and I don't really remember them as a couple so much. So that most of my learning about love and stuff was kind of from, like, the movies, and sort of it being like this fairy tale thing where it just kind of happens and you just know, and then it's amazing, and there might be a little rocky thing that happens, but then it all works out in the end and it's kind of perfect and there's a fairy tale ending. And so I think that I kind of went through life just expecting that that's what was going to happen. I was going to get this bombshell moment of this is it. And actually it's been much more work than that. And it was really interesting recently, because I was really ill at the beginning of this year, and we were still sort of finding our groove. When I was really ill for like 3 weeks, I had to just let him, I had to let him carry me, and I had to let him help me. And I had to just, like, totally soften and not be so in charge. When I sort of go through this whole thing about saying, be in control of your own happiness and, like, take charge and blah, blah, blah. But actually, sometimes, like, not not being so in control of what it is that you're doing. They're finding the balance so that he can look after me. Mm-hmm. And it was a real interesting flipping point again in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And things have I've got so much softer. Mm-hmm. And so much more open to allowing him to do stuff for me. Yeah. And to be there for me. Mm-hmm. And to support me instead of just feeling like I need to support myself and be there for myself. So it's such a fine balance. Mm. But that was really interesting as well. He even said to me, I was like, oh, thank you so much for looking after me. And he was like, oh, no, it's been really nice to have been able to do that for once and to have kind of had that nice dynamic. It's such a fine line, but it's tough and you have to work at it and you have to find your balance and you have to work together to find your balance. And I think if you find someone who's willing and wanting to do that for you and to be there for you and to allow you to hold your own space while also, being there for you and supporting you through it all, like, I don't know, he's just fucking dynamite. Like, he's amazing. He is amazing. Mm. And it took me such a long time to really realise that and to really realise, like, what I had and how fucking cool he is. And so many other people, everyone else knew it and everyone else saw it. And even now, like, people that I meet that were, like, acquaintances that we'd sort of met together back then, have said, we were so surprised that you broke up. And we were always secretly rooting for you, like always rooting for you to get back together. And it just didn't make any sense to anyone. And it kind of didn't really make sense to us as to why we broke up either. It just, it just wasn't working, but it was. We just had to find our own shit and sort our own shit out in order to be able to be there and properly appreciate each other and really see what it was that we had. And, well, for me, I can't talk for him. I have a completely different take on all of this. But, I can now sort of take a step back because I'm still getting myself together and I'm still trying to work out what it is that I'm doing with my life and, still going down some like crazy route of being freelance and being a yoga teacher and trying to make money and sort myself out while also, build a life that I actually really love, which is something that I've gone on a path to. And that was something that I very much learned in this whole process. And I was going down a route of a life that I thought I should be living. And, you move to London and you get the great PR job and you work really hard and the whole way along during this process, I've been going, but I'm really not to my core happy. Why am I not to my core happy? Mm. And then it wasn't until the age of like 30 where I was like, enough is enough. Mm. Like, what do I actually really want from my life? And what do I actually really want to do? And what is it that actually really makes me happy? And how can I build a career from that? And so I'm still going through that process now. And there's still a lot of, unsettle and questioning. But I think that during all of that, I can know that, and I can see, because I have the headspace to be able to see, because I've got so much other stuff together, that I can see what it is that we have and how special it is. Mm. And I can see what everyone else saw back then and what everyone else still sees. And I can now do that thing which he always wanted me to do, which was when we started bickering, being able to go, no, we're bickering and this is stupid. Stop, take a breath. Take time out, take 5 minutes, come back, start again, instead of going, why are we bickering? Why is this happening? Why? And trying to find this solution that's to a problem that's not actually a problem.
Yeah.
It's just being human.
Yeah, but it's, you know, with the bickering, because this model of a relationship is based on the fairy tales, you know, the type of relationships that we see in the rom-coms, films like Jerry Maguire, that are totally unrealistic. Yeah. They just show the happy ending, which is actually the beginning of a relationship. They don't actually show the rest.
No, exactly. They don't show the bit when they start, like, properly fighting.
Yeah, and disagreeing and having, and working through challenges.
Yeah.
And so that model needs to be updated.
Definitely. And as I was saying, it's like this fine line between going away and doing your own thing. But then, there are still, I think it's knowing, it's not about knowing, it's about communicating it. So even when I'm going away to sort something out on my own, I've still talked to him about the fact that that's what I'm doing. So that when I come back, and I'm only talking about, you know, taking some headspace and going and spending the night somewhere else. Or, I mean, we don't live together. So, like, going home and then coming back again. Mm. And not having any real reason to go home. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you're staying over tonight. Well, no, I'm not. I'm going to go home. But have you got plans? No, I haven't got plans. But I'm going home because that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But if I've talked to him about it and he knows that that's what's happening, then one, you have this like intuitive thing anyway, where you can feel that something's going on with the other person.
Mm.
And if they're not talking to you about it, then your mind can wonder as to what it is that's happening. And you start to feel worried that you're doing something wrong or that it's something to do with the relationship. And actually, it's probably not. It's probably something totally different. But if they talk to you about it, then you'd be able to go, okay, that's fine. Like, I'm just not going to worry about it. Mm. I'm just going to get on with my own stuff. And then when you come back and you say, you know, they then can ask the questions that you want them to ask, which is, so how are you feeling now? Like, what's going on? Mm. And are you feeling better about stuff? Or all those questions that I always wanted him to ask back before. But he didn't know to ask them because he didn't know there was a problem. Because I hadn't told him there was a problem. Why would I expect that he would know that? If you have a fundamental core value of what you want and what you're looking for, and someone comes along that ticks those boxes, the other stuff you can work on and you should work on.
Mm.
And it's not. Don't ever expect it to be this fairy tale, super easy. If things get tough, then they're not meant to be, which is what I thought. And potentially, you know, if we hadn't had the dog, then we possibly would have gone completely separate ways, which is, you know, could have been absolutely fine. It could have been what, and we may have met completely different people. And actually, had we not still been in each other's lives as much as we were, maybe we would have met completely different people and gone down completely different paths in lives and been perfectly happy. But I think that I'm just lucky enough that sort of someone that was so, that is actually so good for me and really right for me stayed around in my life while I was going through the process of learning all this stuff.
Mm.
And so that when I got to a point where I could see that, well, I mean, I got to a point where I could see that and he said no, but then sort of still being around to, for, you know, 5.5 years later, to be able to go, actually, that was something special, and being able to get another chance at it. And I think that's another thing as well. We both really appreciate what it is that we've got, and we appreciate how good it is, and that the core values are all there, and so therefore we're willing to fight for the stuff. And let go of stuff as well, so much more than we were before.
Well, I have absolutely loved talking to you today, Caroline. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to the podcast today.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. you.